live from the Hot Stove Lounge. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this New Year's Eve, and the Flames will ring in 2025 with a victory as they beat the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddledome 3-1 this evening. It's Pat Steinberg on your Flames Talk postgame show, and let's head right to the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And let's head right to the Flames dressing room and check in with Flames forward Matt Coronato, who joins us live right now. Matt, a hard-fought one out there, and 3-1 victory for your group. What'd you like about tonight for your team?
Yeah, it was an exciting game. I thought we had good energy, brought it right from the start, so I thought it was a great effort and one to build off of.
One of those nights where you feel like even though there was a one-goal lead and it wasn't like you ran away with the game, pretty close to a 60-minute effort for the group tonight, you think?
Yeah, I thought we had a good start and kind of battled all the way through. I thought we showed a lot of heart in the second period and worked really hard. So it's awesome to see that type of play.
What did you like so much about that second period? It seems like everybody stood up as things got a little chippy, things got a little rough. Didn't feel like your group backed down at all. How proud of that were you in the second?
Yeah, I think we were really proud of that. In between the second and third, it gave us a lot of energy. I think we showed we can be intense and we can be a tough team to play against. So definitely really proud of it.
Brock Besser ties it on that power play, and all of a sudden Vancouver has a little life. But I would imagine it was just over 3 minutes later that Nazem wins it for you. But I would imagine confidence and belief wasn't shaken on that bench tonight, hey?
No, I thought the group had a lot of belief. Naz and Hubie and Posp came up big there. It's an awesome feeling to get the win.
Matt, you've had a lot of games like this year here on home ice where you found a way and where you've scored that big goal when you've needed to. What is it about playing in this building that the group is so confident in?
Well, there's so much energy in this building. I think our fans are so great. And I think every night we play at home, we're really excited to play in front of them. So it's an awesome environment in here, and just hope we can keep it going.
And a final question for you, Matt, as the fireworks start, but another 5 shot attempts for you in this game. I know you don't end up on the score sheet, but as you enter a new calendar year, 2025, you're playing on that line with Michael and Blake. Just how comfortable in this league are you? Is this the most confident and comfortable you felt in the NHL?
I think every day for me, I just want to keep getting better and better, keep improving, keep learning from the older guys like Michael Blake and really all the older guys. There are a lot of great leaders here, so I think for me, just keep building on my game and help the team in whatever way I can.
Hey, Matt, Happy New Year, man. We'll see you on Thursday. Congratulations on the win tonight, and thanks so much for doing this, hey?
Happy New Year.
Thanks, Matt. That is Matt Coronato post-game following a 3-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. From the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Flames Talk postgame is underway on this New Year's Eve Tuesday. It's Pat Steinberg alongside Derek Wills, Megan Mickelson here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Text line is open at 960-960. Flames Talk postgame available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Just heard from Matt Coronato, and he was a pretty happy camper with the way they played. Felt that this was a real character win for the group, and they come away with the victory. And Mick, in the pregame show, our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota was, you know, big opportunity here for the Flames, down by a point to Vancouver entering action tonight, now ahead of them by a point in these Western Conference standings, a Canucks team that didn't have Philip Roenick, didn't have Elias Pettersson, and didn't have Quinn Hughes, and Flames needed to take advantage, and they did just that. They played a really solid game tonight and come away with a hard-fought 3-1 win.
Yeah, that's a massive win. I mean, it every point is important, obviously, but these ones felt that much more important.
The reason you're short is because Jason LaBarbera's joined us. Jason LaBarbera in just a second. Marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Boxing Week blowout is on at the giant Country Hills Toyota for a limited time. Save $3,000 to $5,000 on every Tundra. It's time to Toyota. Hello, Barbs. Happy
New
Year.
How are we doing? Happy New
Year. Feels a little better after a win like that. What'd you think of this one for your group tonight?
Good. It was a good. That was just a good hockey game, I think, all the way around. Like, you kind of got a little bit of everything: intensity, fights, physical, emotion. The crowd was into it tonight, so it was a good hockey game, and obviously a good win for us.
Have to ask about Dustin Wolf, and obviously he's been great all season long, but especially at home. Like, why do you think that is? That he's been so good at home, and just what did you see from him tonight?
I don't know why. I think he's comfortable here, obviously, and but his poise tonight was really good. You know, we talk a lot about how the, like, managing games and how every period is different, every game is different. You're gonna have stretches where you're gonna see lots of shots, you have stretches where you don't, and you have to be able to manage the game mentally and physically. And yeah, I thought he did a really good job of that tonight. There was really, you know, he didn't have a ton of work per se, but he made timely saves, which is what you want out of your goalie. And there was a good sequence in the first. He made some saves on Miller there and on the power play. And then the one coming out of the, I think it was Hoglander there on the partial breakaway. So it's all timely saves. And, he's progressing well, and he's doing what we need him to do.
I know you're a long way from getting to where you want to go, but what does it mean to this team to be in a Stanley Cup playoff spot to start 2025?
Yeah, it's big. You know, I think, the guys have worked hard all year and have bought into what the staff wants and how we need to play as a group every night. And, I've played on teams like this where you need everybody every single night. You're not relying on one or two people. And so when you have that, everybody is excited to play because they can contribute in some way, shape, or form every single night. And the guys have bought into it and when we play the way we need to play, we're a hard team to play against.
It's Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, with us following this 3-1 win over Vancouver. How'd you like the way that, you know, there's been a few games this year where things have gotten a little chippy, it's gotten a little rough, and you know, the group seems to be perfectly comfortable in games like that, whether it's Lomberg or Ball dropped the gloves tonight. Didn't feel like there was any McKenzie stood up for backs right after that questionable hit. Like, it feels like this group's pretty comfortable in standing up for one another. What's your observation on that?
Well, it's a good group in there. Certainly, you know, when you see things like that, guys standing up for each other or answering the bell in those situations, that shows that you have a good group. So, you know, you could kind of feel in the first, it was starting to get a little chippy, little feisty. And I felt like when I was coming down after the first, like, second period is going to get to another level. You probably don't expect that, where you look down, they've got five guys in the box. I think we had four at one point. So, but the way hockey is now, that doesn't happen a lot. So it is nice every once in a while to see games like that where those things do happen.
Lomberg lives for that. He was just in his element tonight, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's such a ball of energy and just brings so much juice to our group. And he's been an awesome add. And, I mean, he was here earlier in his career, obviously. And to see him now, you know, I didn't know him before, but to see him how he is on a daily basis with just everybody, coaches, staff, players, et cetera, he's an awesome guy. And he's brought a ton of everything to our group.
I think he was trying to fight Dakota Joshua too, so he was going for the hat trick there. But you always see him chirping guys on the other bench too, so I would love to be ice level for a game and just hear kind of what's coming out of his mouth. I bet he's a grade A chirper as
he
well.
Would be.
You talk about energy though, and one guy who I thought tonight brought a lot of that was Jacob Peltier, and he finished the game with 7 shot attempts. Like, that for him, that's obviously a very impactful game. But I mean, is this the type of game from him that as a coaching staff you guys are hoping to see?
For sure. I was actually hoping that when you're saying that, I was hoping you're going to say his name, because I thought he was really good tonight, and that's what he has to do every night. And when you're a young guy, it's the key word to any player to stay at this level is consistency. And he's trying to find that at this level. And when he shows spurts of it, you can see like what he's able to bring to the game for the team and for himself. And now it's just for him just to continually to keep doing it every single night. And, you know, I always say, like, it's not that it's easy to get to the NHL, because it's not, but it's almost harder to stay, you know. And that's how you stay, is to be consistent and do what you do well every single night.
You guys are in a pretty good spot to start the new year. But talking to managers, coaches, and players over the last week, the one thing that I think everybody has said is, yeah, we're in a pretty good spot, but we still think we have room to grow. So as you get set to start a new calendar year, what areas do you guys think you can get better in?
Well, I mean, obviously offensively, it's a grind for us. It hasn't been easy, you know, but the way we play, you know, it's funny, like it feels like after every second period, it's like it's a tie game or it's a one goal game. Like there's no, yep. There's no easy games, right? And we're sort of in our elements in that sense. So for sure, it would be nice to be able to score more. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of teams probably want to say that, but I think, you know, for us, we have to stick to how we need to play every night. And if we're winning games, you know, 2-1, like we did the other night, or 3-1 tonight, like that's how we're going to have to win games. So it's, you're always looking for improvement, always. It never ends. But as long as we stick to the way we need to play every single night, well, like I said, we're a hard team to play against.
But in New Year's, in like a little less than 2 hours, what do we have planned now?
Nothing.
No?
Any Dom Perignon in the coach's office?
My kids are at home by themselves right now, okay. So I'll probably go there and I don't know. I don't know if they're awake or asleep or what they're doing.
That's what I said to Wilsey. I'm like, everyone in this building right now is dressed to go out. I'm dressed to go home. Yeah, I got my kicks on.
Exactly. I'll probably be in bed about 12:01.
Yeah, me too.
Well, then it's already New Year's in the East, so happy New Year's.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year's.
Thanks, Barbs. Thanks, guys. Congrats on the win. We'll see you on Thursday. Jason LaBarbera, Flames goaltending coach, following a 3-1 win over Vancouver here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, as our Flames Talk postgame show is underway on this Tuesday night, as the Flames wrap up 2024 with a 6-3-3 December record and a 6 games above .500 record going into the calendar year of 2025. They're now 4 games away from the midway mark of this season as this really tight Western Conference playoff race continues. Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan with Megan Mickelson and Derek Wills. My name is Pat Steinberg. Mick, let's just pick up a little bit on what we were saying before Barb so rudely cut you off. Before Barb came and sat down here. Just a character win for sure. You need all the points you can get. You always want to beat a team that's ahead of you in the standings. And also, you got to take advantage of these spots. When the other team doesn't have 3 of their top 4 or 5 players, you've got to go out and take advantage, which the Flames did tonight.
Yeah, I think like what's impressed me the most about them is just how, I mean, they know who they are, they know how they have to play, and they're able to go out and execute that like pretty consistently. They know they're not going to put up a ton of goals, but they know that they have to be really solid defensively. They need to lock it down in the neutral zone. They need to be hard and heavy on the forecheck, and they need to be physical and hard to play against. And they've, you know, really established themselves, you know, very well as being a team that plays well at home, and teams don't want to come in here and play in the Saddledome. So I think, you know, that's definitely a big takeaway for me over the first portion of this season, or the 24 portion of this season, is that they very clearly have an identity. Mm-hmm. And they know how they need to play to execute that. So I think that we saw that again in this game.
Yeah, it was a game that had a little bit of everything except goals for quite some time, but it was another hard-fought game. It reminded me a little bit of the game the Flames played in Las Vegas on Sunday, right? There was only one goal in that game in the first 50 minutes, and then the Golden Knights scored to make it 2-0 and then got an empty netter to make it 3-0, but really a good hockey game. The Flames played a good road game. They just couldn't put the puck in the back of their opponent's net. So to see them score the opening goal of this game, Connor Zeri gets another beauty. And then the Canucks, even though they were shorthanded, they gave the Flames everything they could handle for most of this one tonight. They tie it up. But then that connection between Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau continues. And, yeah, Martin Pospisil has been a big part of that line. And, Mick, as you pointed out on the broadcast, Mackenzie Weegar doesn't get credit for two great breakout passes, but the Flames don't score either one of their first two goals without him. So just from start to finish, I thought a really good effort and a good, gutsy team win against the Canucks tonight. And with it, the Flames are in a playoff spot all of a sudden.
Mick, in the pregame show, one of the things that you you highlighted about the Canucks was not so good against the rush. And that was, I mean, I guess the first goal was kind of like that, but it was the second goal, the game winner, that they just got all out of sorts. Like they had even manpower, and you're watching that goal, you're like, how all of a sudden does that happen? But good on Kadri for driving and Huberdeau finding him. Like the Canucks got all out of sorts, and then the Flames were able to make him pay for it. That was a pretty good example of how a Flames team can generate on the rush against a team that doesn't defend very well on the rush.
Yeah, the second most rush goals allowed against in the NHL. And that would definitely be something that would be highlighted on the pre-scout. You know that you need to try to take advantage of when something is that big of a weakness for a team. And I mean, you could see it when they're coming back into their own zone on the rush. It's like guys look lost. Like they don't, looks like they're not sure who to pick up and where to go and what to do. And so I think that the Flames would have been well aware of that, and props to them for finding a way to take advantage.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a bunch of games this year where the Flames have faced an opponent without their captain and one of their best players, and they've taken advantage of those opponents in some games, but not in others. The one that stands out to me on the negative side would be that 8-3 loss to the Lightning, but did a really good job against the Predators the game before that, and then the Panthers the game after that, and they take advantage of a Canucks team without their captain and I would say their best player in Quinn Hughes, last season's Norris Trophy winner, also without his partner. And I know he's no Quinn Hughes, but still a really good player.
Philip Peronic.
Yeah,
it's your entire top
pair. And then without Elias Pettersson, their highest paid player and one of their top two centermen. I know he hasn't had a great year, but still a dangerous offensive player. So I actually give the Canucks some credit for putting up the type of fight they did tonight, literally and figuratively. But at the end of the game, the Flames were the better of the two teams. They deserved to pick up 2 points. And, you know, Pat, on the Daily Calgary Flames roundtable, not once but twice last week, we talked about, okay, Flames are on the outside looking in. Who are they going to catch if they can narrow the gap and leapfrog a team? What team's it going to be? And I said Kings, and then after I saw that Hughes was out and Pettersson was out, I changed my mind, and I jumped on board with you and Aaron Vickers and said, you know what? I think the Canucks, with the injuries they're dealing with the drama that they're dealing with between JT Miller and Elias Pettersson, maybe it's going to be one of those seasons for them. But it took me a little while to get there because, you know, the Canucks were so good last season, could have easily won that playoff series against the Oilers. They didn't. But I had them picked to be one of the top two teams in the Pacific Division before the season started. I, you know, couldn't have seen all this stuff coming on and off the ice. But it's still a pretty good hockey team. So anxious to see how things play out for both of these sides in 2025.
One more game in this season series between the Flames and Canucks, not until March when these two teams meet again. Now, let's select tonight's hardest working Flame. Mick, lots of candidates in this one tonight. Which way are you leaning for the hardest working Flame tonight?
Well, obviously, honorable mentions to Dustin Wolf. I thought, especially in the first period, he was excellent. A lot of high dangers he faced and stopped. I really liked Jacob Pelche's game. I thought that he was very effective and maybe one of his best games that we've seen from him. Certainly his best this season. But I'm going to give it to Mackenzie Weegar. Doesn't get any points, but you don't score either of those goals without him getting, he would have gotten the third assist. So ends up being plus three, three shots on net, six hits. Like he laid a massive hit in the neutral zone once again, and just thought that defensively he was really strong as well. So going to give it to Mackenzie Weegar.
Mackenzie Weegar, your hardest working Flame tonight following a 3-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks. A couple of notes for you, Wilsey, that you can react to, and then we'll hear Ryan Huska and start to wrap things up. But first one, that's the highest goal total for Jonathan Huberdeau since joining the Flames. So he's got 16 and 37. That surpasses his 15 from two seasons ago, which was his highest total as a Flame, and still plenty of hockey left to go, obviously. The other one, How about Dustin Wolf, the fastest, second fastest goalie to 20 wins in Calgary Flames history? The only goalie faster to 20 wins is Mika Kiprusoff, who did it in 31 games in 2003-2004.
Number 34 is what you're trying to say.
I don't even know if I was trying to say that. Yeah. He did it in 31 games in his first season with the Flames. Dustin Wolf got to 20 wins in 37 games. So pretty impressive for Jonathan Huberdeau. By far his best stretch as a member of the Flames, and a pretty good debut first couple seasons for Dustin Wolf.
Outstanding. And he's had a fantastic first season in the NHL as a full-time player in this league, and I still think he's got plenty of room to grow. But Dustin Wolf now 10-1-1 on Scotiabank Saddledome ice this season. He has been fantastic for the Flames inside of the Sea of Red. And I love the Jonathan Huberdeau story, because you talked about it earlier tonight. Mick and I talked about it as well. But last December was arguably his toughest month as a member of the Flames, and he's had some tough months since joining this team a few seasons ago. But he was pointless in the first 12 games of December in 2023. Remember, he picked up an assist on New Year's Eve, so he finished the month of December 2023 with 1 point, an assist. He finishes the month of December 2024 with 8 goals and 15 points. So 1 point in 13 games last December, 15 points in 12 games this December. He has been a completely different player, not just offensively. I think he's playing better defensively than he has at any point in time in his fantastic NHL career. So, yeah, Dustin Wolf and Jonathan Huberdeau, two of the big reasons why the Flames won this hockey game tonight.
Well, Jonathan Huberdeau, this is crazy to me. His shooting percentage this year, 23.4%. Last year, 8.4%. So, I mean, that obviously will help your goal scoring as well. But he's turning into, I would say, like a shot-first guy. He's taking the shots when they're there. But he's also getting himself into much better positions. And he talked about, you know, he's focused on being on the right side of the puck. And when you do that as a player, oftentimes, then you're able to kind of jump into those pockets or make plays to the right areas when you're setting a teammate up for success as well. So I love that about his game. But also, like, I asked Cale MacLean about why him and Nazem Kadri have had the success that they've had, and he gave me a really interesting answer. He was talking about how they're sharing the puck between each other a lot more. And they're getting multiple touches, but when, you know, one guy's getting it, you give it back. When you get multiple touches like that, you often get the puck back under better conditions. So it's that, you know, the frequent touches, they're constantly moving out there. Martin Pospisil, I think, has been very impactful in the way that Jonathan Huberdeau has been able to produce as well since that line was put together. So just a lot of things going the right way for Jonathan Huberdeau. Plus, he's feeling pretty good. It's a lot easier as a player to play well when you're feeling good. But Dustin Wolf continues to be excellent and extremely impressive. What I love about his game is how smart he is. Like, as a player, you have to be able to read the play, obviously. And I think that he sort of set a new standard for goaltenders and how you can be a goaltender and how you can be smart and have high hockey IQ and read the play.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mick, but I'm thinking about the goals that Jonathan Huberdeau has scored this season. And if I'm not mistaken, his empty net goal tonight is the first goal that he's scored from outside about 5 feet.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Remember that we saw the graphic the other night on the Sportsnet broadcast?
Sportsnet had it up. All 15 of his goals have been scored from like 7 feet and all around there. Yeah.
So I give him a ton of credit. And you know what? When you go to the hard areas, as he has this season, whether that be the front of the net or the corner or wherever, and he's been way more willing to engage and to win battles this season, and that's why he's been so much fun to watch. And, you know, you play the right way, you tend to get rewarded for that over time. But, you know, you deserve to score an easy goal once in a while, and he has not scored a lot of easy goals this season. But, you know, to see him having the success that he has, I think it means a lot to him. I think it means a lot to this team. So that connection, which we did not see for 2 years, every time they tried it, It failed. Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau had no chemistry together for 2 years. Small sample size, but ever since being put together by Ryan Huska this season, those two guys have been magic together.
Yep, all month they played together. It was November 30th in Pittsburgh, that third period where they got put together, and all throughout December they've been in a line with one another. I'm curious on the Huberdeau shooting percentage. He's a career 12.6%, and he's at 24.6% now this year. I'm curious where that goes and how that kind of evolves throughout the year. His best year, 16.4 in 2021 when he had 20 goals that year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of his goals are scored around that net front area, but I mean, oftentimes too, like, those are hard areas to score from, yeah, not just in terms of battling for net front position, but if you have to get pucks up in a hurry, and you obviously have a lot less to shoot at when you're that in that tight.
Okay, we'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska very shortly. It is our New Year's Eve edition of our Flames Talk post-game show with the Flames beating Vancouver 3-1 here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. We'll be a little shorter on the phone lines and the text line tonight just because, you know, nobody wants to ring in the new year on the air. So I will continue that. I will be very, very open and honest with you. We're going to continue that tradition of not doing that this year. Before we hear from the head coach, though, let's get some final thoughts from our broadcast duo, starting with Megan Mickelson.
Yeah, I thought it was a really hard-fought game. The Flames, I mean, you score the first goal in the game, you're setting yourself up pretty well, but the physicality and the way that they continue to stand up for one another, I just think that that speaks volumes. Like, the teams that I've been on where you have that, like, you know that the player sitting next to you, that they have your back, like, that goes a long way in a lot of different situations. So love to continue to see that. The goaltending continues to be elite. I mean, you look at the way Dan Vladar played against the Golden Knights and then Dustin Wolf tonight. It's such a big part of their game. So, you know, yeah, they lost the special teams battle, but, I mean, good teams find different and unique ways to win, and I thought that they did that in this game. A nice way to end off the 24 part of this season.
Taking a little bit more big-picture look at things. So I'm normally glass-half-full guy, right? When the season started, I said something along the lines of, if everything falls into place, I could see the Flames being a playoff team. You were a little bit more
I said it in
optimistic.
The summer.
You were maybe a little bit less optimistic. So we were all in different spots, and I think we all believed to some extent that if everything fell into place, they could push for a spot.
Just before you say my optimism level, I said they're going to be right fighting for the last playoff spot all year. It's kind of where I thought they were going to be this year, which
and
is kind of where they
that's
are.
That's where they are, yeah. But not everything has fallen into place, and here they are. On December 31st, 2024, with the calendar about to flip to January 1st, 2025, sitting in a playoff spot. So I give this team a lot of credit because not everything has gone perfectly, but they've found ways to win games. They've played in a ton of overtime games. They've played in a lot of one-goal games. And I still go back to October 9th and the season opener versus the Canucks, and I wonder how much that 6-5 come-from-behind victory in a game where they trailed 4-1 following the first period help them build belief, confidence, swagger, all those intangibles that led to the best six-game start in the history of the franchise. They were 5-0-1 after six games. And, yeah, there have been some ups and downs along the way. But for the most part, this has been a team that has occupied a Stanley Cup playoff spot for most of the season. So I think it's fitting that they'll head from 2024 to 2025 in one. So it's been a fun team to watch. And I can't wait to see, you know, how the back half of the season goes. I just want to thank you guys. Great broadcast partners. I want to thank our sponsors, our listeners. Thank the Flames for all of their help in the first part of the season. And looking forward to what should be a very fun 2025 portion of this 11th season working with you and second season working with you, Mick.
37 down, 45 to go in the 2025 portion of the 24-25 portion. But for now, friends, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you on Thursday.
Good night, and we'll see you next year. Had to do it. I had to ruin the last few minutes of your 2024.
You just ruined my 2024. I knew. I saw the stupid twinkle in your eyes. I'm like, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Well done.
I had to do it before he told me not to do it, too, because then it wouldn't have meant as much.
That was my own fault. I didn't.
Bye.
Happy New Year, Mick. Happy New Year, Wilsey.
Happy New Year.
Be well. And as Mick and Derek sign off, let's hear from head coach Ryan Huska as he just wrapped up in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge following a 3-1 New Year's Eve win over the Vancouver Canucks.
What did you make of that one?
I loved it. I thought it was a great game. That's the most emotion that we've had in a game, and I thought our team fed off the building, which was it was a fun game to be a part of for sure.
It says something about the group, that particularly that second period when tensions were high. They handled it. They pushed back. They responded.
I think there's always a fine line. Like we always want them to play with passion and emotion. And if they do it and they're able to stay on the right side of the line, that's awesome. And I thought tonight they did. They were really good making sure that they didn't cross that line and put us in a bad spot. So I'm really pleased with how they handled themselves tonight.
I don't think Mackenzie Weegar was credited with an assist on either of those two goals, but obviously it was pretty heads-up passes to set them up. Just your thoughts on the work he did out there.
I thought Mackenzie was excellent, and I thought his partner was excellent tonight. You know, even the little thing, Mackenzie jumping in for backs, like that's the type of teammate that he is. And I thought this was one of his better nights that he's had all year. So I really like it when guys raise their level in important games. And even though it's December 31st, this was an important game for our team. And I'm pleased with the outcome, too, that came from it.
On that thread, Ryan, just how valuable has Nazem been in those late third periods where he seems like he scores frequently?
Well, to me, he's been valuable all year. You look at the six of those guys that we talked about a lot at the beginning of the year, haven't talked much about lately, but they've been the drivers of our team over the last little while. They really have. In our dressing room, on days off, practices and games, whatever the case may be, they've been the guys. So you kind of had a feeling as the game was going on, because I thought they were a little bit quiet early on. But sometimes when you look at Naz, you know something's going to happen. And that was a really big goal for us, for sure, because we haven't scored a lot of goals off the rush this year, so it was nice to be able to get one like that.
Talk about the role Lomberg played in this fourth meeting.
Full-on energy, and when a guy's willing to drop the gloves a couple times in the night, you don't see that anymore, you know. So he is a special player for us for a lot of different reasons, as we know. The energy that he brings, he's always positive. He makes people around him feel really good, and he'll do anything for a teammate. So he did really well done on his part as well.
You've been around the game a while. Have you ever seen five guys in the penalty box at one point?
When I was younger. You don't often see it at this level, though.
So when you flip the calendar to January 1, you guys are in a playoff spot. So looking back on what you've done to this point, realizing there's still lots to do, how do you assess that?
We're happy with the way our game is trending. And maybe the most important thing for me is the players understand the style that we have to play. And they've really bought into it. And it's not an easy way to play, but they realize when they are playing that way and when they're not now, which is important for me. So it's turning not into a coach's message anymore. It's more about the players, which is a great thing.
That is head coach Ryan Huska after a 3-1 Flames win over Vancouver here at the Dome. Happy New Year. That's how the Flames wrap up 2024. 37 games down this season, 45 to go. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Your Flames Talk postgame show is underway. The phone lines are open, 403-240-4444. If you want to call on New Year's Eve, you can do that. We'll take some phone calls. We'll also hit your text on the text line at 960-960. All that when we come back, plus more inside the Flames locker room and a whole lot more. Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Final score here at the Dome, 3-1. Flames beat the Canucks, and you know what? Played a really solid game. That was a really solid outing for the Flames. Thought they were pretty on their details and pretty with their game from start to finish. I know that they only have the one goal lead after 40. I know Vancouver tied it, but you know, when Kadri scored that goal, I kind of just said to myself, yeah, you know, that's probably the way this game supposed to go. The Flames had been the better team at 5-on-5. They had been the team that had the puck more. They were the team that was on the attack more. And, yeah, Vancouver was playing without Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and Philip Roenick. Like, that's not an easy thing to do, and that was a pretty gutsy game from Vancouver. But the Flames are full marks for the win, and all the Flames can do is roll out their healthiest lineup against Vancouver's healthiest lineup and see where the cards fall. And on this night, the cards fell with the Flames being the better group, and they deserve the win. They're full marks for the win. They finished over 60% on the 5-on-5 possession scale. They had a 60.9% edge on the shot share. 5-on-5 shot attempts were 56-36 in favor of the Flames. And over at Natural Stat Trick, final high danger scoring chances 11-8 Calgary, including 11-7 at 5-on-5. Plus a solid night from Dustin Wolf. Timely goal and sticking with it from Nazem Kadri. Just overall, I think you can come away pretty happy with this effort for the Flames. And speaking of which, let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Let's hear from the gentleman who scored the game-winning goal. By the way, phone lines are open tonight at 403-240-4444, and your text line's open at 960-960. But before we go there, let's hear from Nazem Kadri, game-winning goal tonight, and here he is inside the Flames locker room.
But Naz, right from the get-go, it looked as though this group, I mean, that was a really entertaining game. It looked as though your group came to play.
Yeah, I mean, besides the scrums and the fights and the passion, I mean, that's all good for sure, especially for you guys. But I think both teams did a pretty good job at you know, playing some solid defense tonight, and there wasn't a whole lot of space out there today. And you know, credit to us for sticking to it and scoring a big goal in the third.
A second period like that, where obviously the bad blood kind of gets going, as you mentioned, the scrums, but you guys gave as good as you got, stuck with it. What's that say about the group?
Yeah, I think we did that from the drop of the puck tonight. I think we were ready to play, and you know, definitely showed that physicality aspect early on in the game. And I mean, we're definitely not known as a team that'll be pushed around, so that's obviously good to see, and that's a huge 2 points for us.
When was the last time you saw five guys in the penalty box?
They might have to do some renovations here at the Dome, I think, make the box a little more spacious. But, yeah, I haven't seen that many guys in there. I mean, I know it probably doesn't seat, you know, more than two or three comfortably, so you know, I'm sure guys are sitting on each other's laps or something like that.
Can you just talk about the atmosphere in that building tonight?
It was great, especially in the third period. You know, we had everyone's chanting West Virginia and getting into it. It's nice to, you know, see everybody enjoying their, you know, New Year's Eve and heading to the new year on a positive note.
We've talked to you after clutch goals a lot, Nazem. Do you feel like the game kind of slows down for you in those late game moments?
I try my best to. I mean, I always, you know, try to approach it and have that, you know, killer instinct type mentality and want to be, you know, the hero. You know, I think obviously, you know, Hubie makes a great play, and, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get myself in a good spot and bury it. But, you know, when the game's on the line, I'd like to step up. It's not going to happen every time, but, you know, I sure want to believe that.
On both goals, Mackenzie Weegar wasn't credited with assists, but I feel like he made passes that really opened the play up on both of those goals. Just your thoughts on
it? Yeah, that's what we need from him. He's one of our best puck moving defensemen, and you know, I know when I'm out on the ice with him to be ready at all times for the puck, especially in the middle of the ice, and I'd rather it no other way. So, you know, I think he picked up maybe a couple third apples tonight. You know, hopefully you know, that he can get that back in the new year.
What's it do for this group when you see Ryan Lomberg go at it twice and maybe willing to go?
What an animal. He would have been ready to go for another couple at least. He's got great energy. He's always ready to play for the fellows. And, you know, we certainly take note of that. We acknowledge that, and we definitely appreciate it. So, you know, it's good to have him on our team.
Lots of room to go, lots of time to go still. But when you wake up on New Year's Day in the playoff spot, how's that going to feel?
Unbelievable. Who all had that here? Anyone project that here? No? Experts. You know, but listen, we fight till the end. That's kind of how it works. There's a lot of year to play. It's going to be great going into the new year in a spot. We'd like to build on that.
Any New Year's resolutions? Anything?
I don't know. So I gotta sleep on that one.
Kaz giving it to the media, of which I am a part of. I'm not absolving myself from that. But, yeah, I like that. Like, give it to – anybody have that? Anybody have us in a playoff spot going into 2025? And honestly, this is kind of – would I have sat there and gone out of the limb and say, yeah, Flames will be in a playoff spot for 2025? Maybe not. Probably not. I thought this Flames team was going to be more competitive than people who thought they were going to be near the bottom of the Western Conference or bottom of the league, but they're sitting there very much on merit in a playoff spot, 1 point ahead of the Vancouver Canucks, who they leapfrogged tonight. Now, Vancouver still has that one game in hand. Flames have played 37, Canucks have played 36, and Canucks technically are in the playoffs on points percentage at 583, and sometimes people want to be technical on that one or technical on points. Whatever. Canucks have The Canucks, Flames, Utah, St. Louis, Colorado, Dallas, all these teams are right in a fight right now in this Western Conference playoff race. And honestly, I don't see the Flames falling completely out of this thing anytime soon. You know, depending on what happens at the trade deadline, maybe some things can happen. Who knows? And that could see them fall out of it like in the final month of the season, I guess. But the way this team plays, the goaltending they're getting, the team play they play with, all that type of stuff, no, I don't see them drastically falling out of this thing as the year goes along. Okay, to the text line and the phone lines in just a second. But first save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. Dustin Wolf got the home ice start tonight, picks up the win, and he was dynamite all night, but especially in the first period. And his save of the game, funny enough, comes in period number one.
Ball will circle his net, lifted off the glass, not out. Juleson knocks the puck down and keeps it in, gives it to Brusk, who centers. Miller to Besser with a backhand, kicked away by Wolf, and now Miller is stopped by Wolf from point blank range as Miller and Anderson are at each other's throats.
That one of the 23 stops made by Dustin Wolf tonight, and that is his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. Wolf's home ice save percentage up to a NHL best 937, tied with Anthony Stolarz of the Maple Leafs for the best home ice save percentage in the NHL this year. As we mentioned, second fastest Flames goalie to 20 wins. He does that in 37 games. Mika Kiprusoff did it in 31 games. And he tied Dan Bouchard for the fewest games to reach 10 home wins in a season. That's his 10th win here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. He's 10-1-1. He did it in 12 games. Dan Bouchard did that with the Atlanta Flames, 10 home wins in 12 games in 1974-75. So all things considered, pretty good stuff from Dustin Wolf. And see what the Flames do for the game Thursday against Utah, which goalie they go to. They've got a full day off New Year's Day, and then Thursday they're back at it against Utah. See who they go with for that game. Let's get to the text line now at 960-960. I do have to warn you on the phone lines, we're going to be a little bit quicker tonight, so just be forewarned. Won't be as lengthy on the phone lines tonight, just because we do want to be out of here well before midnight. That's the one night of the year we try to wrap things up a little bit quicker on New Year's Eve. Scotty in Victoria writes, great and entertaining game. Nice to see after Canada blew that game against the USA. Good way to end 2024. Loved Wolf and Lomberg tonight. Happy New Year's, Patty. Talk to you in 2025. That comes from Scotty in Victoria. This from Dylan. I'm absolutely terrified we're going to be stuck with Kadri's deal until it's over, long after the offense completely dries up. Fun game to watch. Happy Wolf and Huberdeau are playing so well, and I think Yegor is going to start a goal-scoring streak next game. He was all over it tonight. Happy New Year's, Pat. That comes from Dylan. I actually agree on the Yegor front. I thought it was one of his better games of late. I thought that there was a whole lot more to like in Sharon Govich's game tonight. Thought he was a little bit more involved when it comes to putting pucks on net, a little bit more around it. Had a couple of shots on net, had a couple of high dangers, got the assists. So I thought Sharon Govich was better. But Dylan, can you give Kadri his due once in a while? Like, I get it, you're worried about the contract and he's not your favorite style of player. I get all that, but he scored the game-winning goal and ignited this building, and is so that's another one of the clutch goals that Kadri has scored this year. Like, can we give him his due too, maybe? What else we got here at 960? This says, I knew that 5-on-3 wouldn't go anywhere. Honestly, just stoked. Wolf got the save, and they didn't give up a shorty, slowly healing last year's power play trauma. This from Seven McKenzie, went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke out. What a way to punch the Flames ticket into 2025 and find a way into a wild card spot. My best wishes to the callers, texters, and the entire 960 crew for everything you do. Happy New Year to you as well, Seb. This one from Jamie on 17th. Great game tonight for the Flames. Made Team Canada's loss a little better. Solid team outing. No passengers tonight. Wondering if you've heard any rumors about Mika Zibanejad. Apparently, he's lifted his no move, and although his age isn't in Calgary's ideal range, he is a talented veteran right-handed center that's impossible to come by. I kind of hope Conroy puts out some feelers, as the cost to acquire shouldn't be too high if the Flames eat the contract. Just cross my mind. Have a happy New Year's to yourself, the 960 crew, everyone in Calgary and beyond. Thanks, Jamie. You know, I don't... Zibanejad is one of those players that, yeah, if the Flames were to make a little bit of an inquiry on that front, I wouldn't necessarily despise that. Like, we're talking about a guy who's multiple times scored 30 goals. He's 31 years old. I wouldn't hate that. Depending on the acquisition price, I wouldn't hate that as much as some other things that could be discussed. I guess the only worry I would have is what you would be giving up. Like, how many high leverage future assets would you be giving up? Zibanejad's not a UFA until 2030. So, like, unless you're getting it for a cut rate, I still don't love it, but I think he's a hell of a hockey player. There's no doubt about it. This reads from Andy. Happy New Year, Pat. Good way to finish off the year with the win. I think Uyghur should do those twirls in front of Wolf before the passes he creates. Amazing. Good game until the next. This reads, Pat, I absolutely loved Pelche's game today. He's slowly but surely proving he belongs in the NHL. His speed on the forecheck was impressive, and he forced several turnovers against the Canucks. Also, loved that moment after Huberdeau's empty netter when Pelche gave his dad a hug and a kiss on the helmet. Such a wholesome moment. Happy New Year's to everyone. Thought it was a solid night for Jacob Pelche. No doubt about it. Pelche with 7 shot attempts in this game tonight. Ash says, easily the best effort we've seen from Sharon Govich this season. What are your thoughts on the Flames passing on Puljujarvi today? He's a right-hand shot that I think could have used a fresh start in Calgary. To me, he could have been waived again if it didn't work out. I'm totally fine if they don't put a claim in on Jesse Puljujarvi. I think the Puljujarvi train has kind of, like, we're now talking about a guy who's no longer a young player. Like, he's 26 years old now. He has 8 points in 21 games this year. I don't know. Like, he's a winger. I know he's a right shot. Like, if they were to put a claim in on Puljujarvi, I wouldn't have disliked it, but I don't think it's a massive miss if they don't. What else we got here at 960-960? Trent says, good to end the year with a win. The Wolf howls the difference in the home wins. It keeps the fans and players in the game. I think it's probably the reason Wolf has struggled on the road a little bit. Conroy needs to make a decision soon. I think if your goal is playoffs, you want to improve the team in spots. If you want a top 10 pick, you need to trim some fat. But now is time to make a move. If it doesn't work out, you can make a deadline deal still. That comes from Trent. I'm not on board with... I don't know if I'm as on board with how important the wolf howl is. Like, I don't think the lack of the wolf howl, which, by the way, I got to get my little toy now. But I don't think the lack of this, like, I don't think that is the reason why his home record and home numbers are so much better than on the road. But I do think it's a pretty good, it's a pretty good addition to the game. Like, nothing wrong with having the wolf howl. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to sit here and say it's the reason why he hasn't been good on the road. But that's just my opinion, Trent. As for the deal part, no, I don't think there is any urgency at all to make any type of move right now, unless it's something that fits the long term. Right now, I think that let this group and the way that they're rolling, let them continue to work through it. I don't really think that is something that they really need to be forcing at this stage of the game. This just says Happy New Year, Fan 960 crew. All the best in 2025. Ben in Kamloops says that Zeri line was unbelievable tonight. Pelche may have had his best game as a Flame. Really impressive stuff. He keeps it up. No reason he can't be a legit top nine guy for years to come. With that said, Coronado was the best 200-foot player on the ice tonight. Was excellent at both ends. Lots to be excited about with these young players. 960, 960 on the text line as we continue along on your Flames Talk post-game show this evening. It's Pat Steinberg along with you at the phone lines open at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat, we'll get to a few phone calls tonight, go a little quicker on them, but we will get as many in as we can on this New Year's Eve Tuesday. 3-1, Flames beat the Canucks, and we go to Hong Kong to kick it off. James in Hong Kong, my friend. I know it's already the new year there, so happy 2025.
Thank you so much, Pat. Happy New Year to you, Meg, and Wilsey.
Thank you, my friend. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, I haven't called you, I think, for a year already. I didn't call at Christmas, so I have to call you today and wish you continued good work in 2025. And also, after the show, always put the show in the podcast, so we can listen if we can listen in line. So I know you are running. The time is very short. I just try to be quick. First thing is I like the game tonight, and I haven't seen so many penalties in a game for a long time. And seeing five Canucks in the penalty box is so happy. And the best thing is we can win the game tonight. Second, I think the Dustin Wolf is the best goalie in recent years. And I remember last caller calling saying his size is too small, but I think Wolf plays big, so big. I remember once we had a goalie, Brian Elliott. He's much bigger than Wolf, but he plays a little bit lower his position, and he plays more. So I think Wolf is no problem, and I think he's the best goalie after Kiprasov, right?
Well, I mean, they did have Jacob Markstrom here, and you know, had that 1 year where he finished second for the Vezina.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, Marky was here for what, four seasons, and came in a little bit older. I mean, Dustin's still 23 years old, so I think that there is I think there's plenty to suggest, my friend, that this could be a really successful goalie in this league. So I fully understand your excitement when it comes to Dustin Wolf, fully.
Oh, very excited. I remember those years that we haven't had a really good goalie and always change. And that was like those were many bad years. And do you think Wolf is able to beat Celebrini to win the Calder Cup this year, this season?
I mean, do I think he could? Maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a while since a goalie has won the Calder Trophy. He usually doesn't go to a goalie. I think he's got a great chance of being one of the finalists. I do think that that is more realistic than him winning. Do I think there's a chance? Yes, but I think I don't vote, so I have no impact on it. So this is just me reading how the Professional Hockey Writers Association has kind of voted over the last number of years. Typically, goalies don't win it. And if you're a guy like Celebrini, who is going to end up being potentially point per game as an 18-year-old, I think Celebrini has got a pretty good chance of winning it if he stays generally healthy. But do I think that Wolf could find his way into the mix and be a finalist? For sure. And you never know about how a certain player's health is going to be. So, yeah, I think there's a chance. I just don't know if it's a great chance, you know?
Okay, agree. And also, Huberdeau. Like, I was a little bit hard on him last time I called. This year, he turned around, and I think he plays so strong, just like Kelly said. He's like a power forward. I agree with him. Because, like, many goals he scored this year, like, he was in the hard area in front of the goalie and put the puck into the net. So I think he turned around. And he plays with much more confidence. and also to be in line with Kadri. I think he can continue and do well this year.
It's been a really good line this month. It's been a really good line.
Yeah. And last thing, Pat, it's about the specialty team. And I was a bit disappointed with them not being able to put a puck into the net for two man advantages in last game and this game.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I think they moved quite slow, you know, in 5-on-3 and didn't have any set play to score. And also the penalty killing was so bad. I know that Hanifin and Tanev were gone, but is it so, like, much affected without those players and the penalty is so bad? Do they still have the same coaching the penalty killing?
They don't. They made a kind of. I mean, they made a little bit of a change with who's kind of in charge of some of these things. But it's still the same general principle on the penalty kill. I do think losing Hanifin and Tanev, like, that definitely made a difference. But I think it's been long enough now that and like, this penalty kill can be better than it has been. It has not been a strength this year like it has been in the past. I do think it's made some slight improvements as the year has gone along, but generally needs to be significantly better in the second half of the season. That much is very true.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for taking my call, and I'll call again when they get into the playoffs. Okay, Pat?
All right, James.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Be well, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, James. James, if you don't know the backstory, was over here. He's from Hong Kong, and he was over here on an exchange program a number of years ago. I want to say 20 plus years ago, he was in Calgary on an exchange and fell in love with the Flames. And so now lives full time in Hong Kong and still follows the Flames. I've got a friend in Berlin. Same idea. He was born and raised, a little bit different, but born and raised in Calgary, but met his wife on a cruise and moved to Berlin with her. Has been in Berlin for 20 plus years. Doesn't miss a Flames game. Doesn't miss a Flames Talk episode. So that's Gavin in Berlin, or James in Hong Kong. The Flames Talk fam is worldwide. I love it. Let's say hello to George on this New Year's Eve. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. How are you tonight, my friend? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bud. I'm okay.
Thank you, my friend. What a way to end 2024 and bring in 2025. That was one hell of a game. It felt like a total throwback to the 1980s. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't imagine what it was like to be in that building tonight.
Yeah, it was fun. Good atmosphere in here today.
Oh, awesome, man. I love Ryan Lomberg. I am so glad we were able to bring him back to Calgary. I'm so glad he chose to come back to Calgary. The guy is the ultimate teammate, the ultimate warrior. And they've been doing that series on the Flames website, The Chase, which is unbelievable, by the way. Every episode has been so good. And he's one of the people on that series that really stands out to me. He is so important to that room. I just love the guy. I could go on and on about him, but I really love the guy. I hope he stays the Flame the rest of his career. Of course, that probably won't happen, but he's amazing. I love him.
Well, he's under contract this year and next year, so that's a start.
For sure. Mackenzie Weegar was incredible tonight. One of his better games. Hanley was great, and I hope Hanley stays in the lineup. I think he's earned his spot at this point. For me, he's in the top six. No questions asked. And Jonathan Huberdeau, man, let's give the guy his props. What a December he had. Hopefully he can carry it over into the new year and beyond, but, like, you got to give the guy a lot of props. He's been on fire this month.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great month. He's playing his best hockey since joining the team. I don't know. There's really not much else you can say about the guy. Like, I know that the contract is still not everybody's favorite and all that type of stuff, but That was a really good month for him, and it's been the best stretch that he's played as a member of the Flames, without question. So you just need that to continue now.
Absolutely, my friend. I'm going to cut it short here, my man. I'll let you get on to other callers. I wish you the very best in 2025, Patty. I wish you and your family good health and happiness, my man. You take care, and if you're going to be doing any festivities, if you will, tonight, just be safe and careful, my man.
You know I will. I won't do anything you won't do.
My man. Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, George. Happy New Year, brother. Appreciate it as always as the Flames take a 3-1 win over Vancouver. Oh, look who it is. It's our favorite Canucks fan. Sarah is with us. What's up, Sarah?
Hey, Pat.
How we doing?
I'm good. How are you, Noah?
I'm okay. Happy New Year.
Yeah, it could have been happier.
Yes, the team that you cheer for did not get their desired result here at the Dome tonight.
No, they did not, and I have to be honest. I think the better team won tonight. I knew that without Patterson and Hughes tonight, things were going to be a little bit dire for my team. And it turned out the way I feared it might.
They fought hard. They played a decent game, but the end you have, and you also don't have Roenick in that lineup. Like, you take those type of players out, that's the entire top defense pair from last year, and you don't have one of your most important offensive players. That's tough. It's going to be tough to win a lot of games.
It's been a rough season for the Canucks in terms of having players not on the ice. I have to say, if we can get everybody back in time for playoffs, it would probably really help that. But I always say that if we have to lose to somebody within the conference, I'd rather lose to the Flames than the Oilers. So I suppose it could have been worse.
Okay. That's that's a good way of looking at it.
Oh, and I have Wolf in my pool. So, like, that's a thing. And
right. Okay. And I knew you had Wolf on your fantasy team. Okay. So that's also a positive.
I have to take some positives out of this because, you know, it's the last day of 2024. Tomorrow it's all brand new. So I'm hoping that out with all this bad Canucks losing stuff and maybe both teams will make the playoffs in the spring and we can have some duels.
Well, and I mean, at this rate, I mean, they could very well. They probably won't play each other in the playoffs first round, but they might be fighting for one of those playoff spots to go right down to the wire.
Yes, and that would be, and who knows? Teams go on losing streaks all the time, Pat. We just have to hope that the Oilers go on a really bad losing streak.
No, you know what? As you being a Canucks fan and me being the host of Flames Radio, I think we can agree on that one.
Yes, see? So we'll just cheer for that. That's what we'll hope for, and our resolutions will be to just actively all cheer against the Oilers for 2025.
See, I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, Pat, I will let you go because I know you guys have lots of calls and you guys need to get out of there before it gets too crazy on the roads. So just wishing all of you over there the very best of the holiday season. I can't believe you guys went back to work right away. And hopefully y'all get some vacation time soon.
One of these days we will, but we got a season to do, so there'll be plenty of time to vacation in the summer.
Well, you worked in the – no, you didn't. You didn't take vacation in the summer, Pat. We all know you didn't. You were on the radio.
I took a little bit of vacation. I got a little bit in, but yeah.
Okay.
And we get 2 weeks off. We get 2 weeks off once the Four Nations starts. So there'll be time to get time off. Don't worry.
Okay, well, good for you guys. I hope everybody takes care, and hopefully – the Canucks come back for the next game here in Calgary, and we play much better.
Speak for yourself. Just kidding. Have a good New Year. Have a great 2025, Sarah, and I'm sure we'll talk to you in the next few days on the text line.
Oh, you know we will. Talk to you
soon. Happy New Year, Sarah.
Bye. You too.
Let's continue along on our Flames Talk post-game show this evening by telling you that the text line's open at 960-960 and the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Let's hear from Ryan Lomberg. How about not one, but two fights tonight in a pretty emotionally charged game here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Let's check in with Ryan Lomberg. His thoughts following this one tonight.
How'd that feel? These are the kind of games you seem to thrive in.
Yeah, it was great. Dome was rocking. Boys were playing great, playing together. All around, it was a pretty exciting game.
You thought you were going to get into a third one?
It was looking that way. Yeah, it was looking that way, but, you know, it didn't happen. So probably see somebody down the line here, hopefully.
for this group, like, the second period, obviously, you know, you had to match their physicality and obviously push it even further. What does it say about the group that you responded the way you did to a period like that?
Yeah, it means a lot when guys are sticking up for one another. You know, it's a shine of or a sign of you know, the brotherhood that we're trying to get to here and that we're growing. So it's great anytime you stand up for your teammates and you know you push back when you get pushed. It's important.
We always hear guys talk about making the Saddledome a tough place to play. Is a game kind of like this sort of what you have in mind for doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when people talk about that, it's more about the altitude and fans and you know, the old building, but you know, we definitely want to make it a part of us too and how we play teams and play hard. And you know, like I said, the Dome was rocking tonight, so it was an exciting game.
You know, it's New Year's and, you know, predictions and projections and all that type of stuff, but how much pride does your group take at the fact that, you know, you're going to wake up tomorrow in a playoff spot, or right now you are, and maybe you continue to prove people wrong?
It's huge. Yeah, we're not here to be in a playoff spot, you know, January 1st and then not, you know, when the season's over. So it's great. You know, we're in one now, and we got to do what we can to stay in one and continue to climb here, because, you know, obviously we're proving people wrong, but we're not proving ourselves wrong. We know what we're capable of, especially when we play the right way. So it was a good 2024, this fraction of the season, and we're definitely looking forward to continuing, you know, where we left off.
Is there anything that's a surprise you and this team in the first 3 months here since you've come back?
No. I mean, I didn't sign here to lose. I didn't think we would be in the basement like everybody thought. I knew that there were guys here, coaching staff, management, players on the team, you know, everything about it. I knew that this is kind of exactly where we're going to be, you know, bubble, fighting to get in and having to earn it every night. So, you know, proud of the group for where we're at now. And like I said, I think we're all, you know, looking forward to continuing what we've built so far.
It's the last time you did have to drop the gloves three times, I mean.
I don't think I ever have, so I was actually looking forward to it. But maybe next time.
Maybe next time, indeed. There's Ryan Lomberg post-game tonight. Two fights, and he had his fingerprints all over this 3-1 win over the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, phone lines are open, 403-240-4444, but we are going to start winding down on the phone lines as the night goes along. Keep your texts coming as well at 960-960. Still have a little bit of time before we wrap up the program. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Flames win 3-1 over the Vancouver Canucks. One more look inside the Flames locker room, some more phone calls and texts as we continue you along. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the Hot Stove Lounge on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Your final score here at the Dome on this New Year's Eve, Flames 3, Canucks 1. It's Steinberg along with you here on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Happy New Year. 2025 is around the corner, but before we hit 2025, we got to go back inside the Flames locker room one more time. Your number one star tonight was Connor Zary. Opened the scoring in the first period, and I thought his line with Sharon Govich and Pelche, dynamite tonight. They were all over the ice. I thought Zary was dynamic. Let's hear from Connor Zary post-game inside the room.
How do you describe that one? I mean, there was a lot going on, from the emotion to the way you guys kind of accepted that, but also focused on your game. How do you describe that one?
Yeah, it was a fun one for sure. I think at times it got a little sloppy. It got pretty emotional out there, and I think those ones are always fun to play in, and it kind of gets the juices flowing. It gets the energy up, and kind of like I said, it kind of makes the game a little choppy, but it is what it is, and at the end of the day, we're able to capitalize on a few areas plays when we needed to capitalize, and we come up with the win. So I think those are fun.
Pardon me, and you score in game number 100. That had to feel even extra.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's special every game you get to play in the NHL, and to play 100 games after playing so long in the American League, and then be able to come up here and kind of make my mark and get into game number 100 is pretty cool. And obviously that's special to me and special to my family, and kind of you think about all the hard work you put in, or your family put in, and the time and the money spent. Hopefully my parents think it's good, it was a good investment, but no, it was definitely special for me.
You mentioned the emotions and the physicality and everything, and particularly in the second period, but it says something about this group that you guys handled that and, you know, didn't get away from it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the guys in this locker room like to get after it a little bit like that, and obviously it starts with Lombo, and he gets us going and he gets the juices flowing, whether it's a game like that or whether it's kind of a stale game. I think he's a guy who we lean on for energy and to bring it like that, and you saw that tonight. So I think everyone just fed off each other, and we were ready to kind of go back and forth with them, with especially the emotional part of the game.
Did you ever look at him and just be like, this guy's a maniac?
yeah, he's definitely one of a kind, something special, and love him to death, and happy he's on our side all the time.
Just on your goal, but also on the team's second goal, Mackenzie Weegar doesn't get an assist on either, but you know, he had to do such good work to find those passes. Just do thoughts on
it. For sure. Both those plays were pretty incredible, especially that second one. I think he made like 10 head fakes and a lot of deception and patience. So I think that's credit to him and how good of a player he is, and the plays he makes day in, day out. And whether it's blocking shots or hitting guys, and he kind of did it all the night and making plays. So that's the guy Weeks is, and he's always been one of our best defensemen, and he, that's why he's one of the best in the league at doing that. So
there you go. That is Connor Zary post-game. He played in his 100th NHL game, scores a goal, and Martin Pospisil played in his 100th NHL game tonight, picks up an assist on the game winner. So points in game 100 for both Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil here at the Dome tonight. Okay, back to the text line we go at 960-960. This reads, awesome end of the year. If they just keep on keeping on, they can do this. Thanks for great conversation this year, Pat and folks. That comes from Leanne in Camrose. Francesca says, Happy New Year, Pat. Thanks for another great year. We're lucky to have you. Thank you, Francesca. Thank you for listening. This is really cool from Emily. Happy 100th birthday, Mama Sally. Her favorite player, Lomberg, got lots of penalty minutes tonight. Go Flames. Go. That is awesome. Happy 100th, Sally. That is awesome. And I'm glad that Ryan Lomberg did you proud on birthday number 100. This says the Flames are missing the opportunity to use the song Clap for the Wolfman and get the crowd into it. That's something they could consider for sure. Nathan, 11-year-old Nathan says, what do you think of all the fighting tonight? I thought it was actually a pretty impressive performance in that regard. Like, I didn't feel like any of those fights were based on anything other than emotion. I thought it added to the emotion and the intensity of the hockey game. I actually quite liked that part of it tonight. I thought it was a really, really solid addition to this rivalry between Calgary and Vancouver. In fact, I loved it, Nathan. I really did. Because, again, they weren't like staged meaningless fights. They were fights that kind of were part of the emotion of the hockey game, which is when I like that part of the game the most. This one from Ryan in Sundance, who says, Patty, really loved the nastiness and fighting tonight. Was a real rivalry game and had a bit of a playoff feel. Love how Huberdeau is proving so many people wrong, and Wolf continues to prove small goalies can play in the league. He's my son's hero. He plays goal and does the hop before each period. Happy New Year to you, Pat, and everyone at 960. I love that part. Love that he's doing the hop before games. That is outstanding. That's kind of the signature of Dustin Wolf, right? So it's cool that other people are catching on to that now. This from Colin in Martaloup says, don't understand the anti-Kadri stuff. He's in his third year, still playing well. The way he plays could easily be productive for the last 4 years of the contract. I think he'll do just fine. I'm a big big fan of Kadri, so I'm not in the anti-Kadri crew, that's for sure. What else we got here at 960-960? Stefan from Olds was at the Dome tonight. Didn't look sold out, but it sure sounded like it. Lamborghini is the emotion for this club. Fourth line was great throughout. And it was loud in here tonight, and it was a full-on sellout tonight. 19,289 here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. So it was sellout at the Dome and a fun atmosphere at the Dome. It was a good building for this one this evening. Great stuff on the text line tonight. And now a couple more calls on the phone lines. Just two more calls before we wrap things up as we say hello to Anand following a 3-1 win over Vancouver. What's up, buddy?
Good evening, Patty. How are you this evening? Happy New Year's Eve and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. I'm doing well.
Yeah, it was a fun, fantastic game I was watching. Congratulations to Zary and Pospisil for their 100th NHL game. Lomberg was amazing with his fights. And then I think overall, pretty impressive season so far. What would you say is your most positive highlight of this season so far?
Geez, Anand, that's a tough one to put me on the spot on.
I like putting you on the spot.
You know what? I would just say, I would probably say, honestly, bud, the season opening win against Vancouver would still be it for me. Like, that was such a tone setter for the season to come, and it put them on track for a 5-0-1 start to the year, which was such a big part of them building the cushion that they still have right now, or building the nest egg they have right now to be in a playoff spot. The comeback, the back and forth, the fights, the rough stuff. I think that game still lingers in the back of the minds of both teams as they were playing tonight. Good rivalry these two teams are rebuilding. So I would say opening night would be it for me.
All right, 100%. All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'll keep it short and sweet. Once again, Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to the entire crew. Yeah, talk to you on Thursday. I'll have maybe a surprise announcement on Thursday to make, so I'll keep it for then.
Okay, Anand, good to hear from you, pal. Happy New Year, hey?
Yeah, Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you so much.
Good stuff, buddy. And we will wrap up on the phone lines tonight by saying hello to Bryce. What's going on, Bryce?
Oh, not too much. Just sitting here and Happy New Year to you and all the callers and for all the things you've been actually teaching us and telling us and then keeping us engaged and all the good things you've done. And then the other question, like tonight, Dustin Wolf, yeah, see, he's an amazing goaltender. When he's on, he's like, he stops quite a bit of amazing ones too.
Yep, that athleticism that he possesses, and you combine that with his hockey sense, he makes a lot of highlight reel saves that a vast majority of NHL goalies don't make because of those two things.
Yeah, and it's nice to see, like, he's one of the fastest goalies for, like, wins in his rookie year, 20 wins.
He's the he doesn't have 20 wins this year. That also counts in some of his other work, but he's the fastest Flames goalie to 20, second fastest Flames goalie to 20 wins in franchise history.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Even just hearing that's for what he's gone through and what he's producing, he's showing like anybody could do it at his stature and his intelligence. I've seen it all. I've seen it down here when in Abbotsford when he was first starting out. I've seen the progress on him. He's amazing.
Yep. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to the, Sharon Grobuch actually played pretty good tonight. He played well tonight.
Yeah, I thought he played well. I thought that line played well. So something maybe they can build on.
Yeah, hopefully, and he can score some more. And then Huberdeau, he's turned it around quite a bit this year, and hopefully it works out for him as we go along next year. Hopefully,
for sure.
Yeah, anyway, I'll let you go because you probably have to. And then I'll talk to you in the new year and have a good and safe and happy new year and to your family and the rest there at 960 and the fans.
Yeah, you as well, Bryce. It's always good to hear from you, brother. And we'll talk to you later on. You have yourself a great new year as well. Happy new year, pal. Thanks for calling all year.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah,
thanks, Bryce.
To next year.
Absolutely. You as well. Happy New Year, pal. And that'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. And we'll start to wrap things up a little earlier than normal. There's no doubt about it. We're a little like there's less phone calls on New Year's Eve because it's New Year's Eve. And we try not to ring in the new year on the air. So a little bit shorter on your Flames Talk post game this one. It's the one time a year that we try to wrap it up a little earlier than normal. So the one of 90 plus that we do, I think that we're allowed to do that. Hopefully you have yourself a happy new year. Time for the final summary following this 3-1 Flames win over Vancouver, as the Flames never trailed tonight. They open the scoring at 14:31 of the first period. Connor Zary is able to bang home his ninth of the year. Zary from Yegor Sharangovich and Jacob Pelche at 14:31, and the Flames led 1-0. They led 1-0 after 20. They led 1-0 after 40 because there was no scoring in the middle frame. And then Vancouver ties it at 6:15 of the third period. Brock Besser makes it 1-1. He redirects home a power play goal to make it a tie game. Besser's 14th from JT Miller and Eric Brandstrom at 6:15. We had a 1-1 tie. But just over 3 minutes later, the eventual game winner scored off the rush and off the stick of Nazem Kadri, his 14th of the year, from Jonathan Huberdeau and Martin Pospisil at 9:18. Give the Flames a one-goal lead once again, and they'd add to that lead into an empty net with just over a minute to go. Jonathan Huberdeau, his team leading 16th of the year, unassisted at 18:58, into an empty net, brings us to our 3-1 final score. Final shots, 29-24 in favor of Calgary. Flames go 0-2 on the power play tonight. Vancouver 1-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight: number 3, Jonathan Huberdeau; number 2, Nazem Kadri; and your number 1 star tonight was Connor Zary. Hardest working Flame, as selected by Megan Mickelson tonight, was Mackenzie Weegar. With the win, the Flames wrap up 2024 with a record of 18-12-7. They're back in action Thursday at home to Utah, while Vancouver falls to 17-11-8. They're back in action Thursday on the road in Seattle. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our on-site engineers Tim Khalil and Jeff Mason, for our reporter Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producer Connor Gronsdahl, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, they open up the 2025 portion of their schedule Thursday night against Utah. That is a 7 o'clock face-off, which means we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Have yourself a wonderful 2025 ahead. Thank you so much for hanging out with us throughout the calendar year of 2024, and I say this honestly, full on, be safe, have a great one, but be safe this new year, have a great rest of your New Year's Eve if you're listening live, have a great New Year's Day, and a great 2025. Happy New Year, your final score, Flames 3, Canucks 1, that'll do it for our Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.